What's your Everest? You know, the highest mountain on earth, a metaphor for a goal that is so big that it scares you to even speak it out loud. That goal that takes more than a season, a year, or maybe takes a lifetime to even accomplish. I'm Colleen Rue, the voice of the mountain and your host as we meet inspiring individuals who know what it's like to set big goals and how to accomplish them. Welcome to My Everest, a 29029 podcast. American entrepreneur and author Jim Rohn is often credited with saying, "You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with." So look around. Who's in your circle? Are the people you are spending the most time with people who you look up to? People who you want to be like?
It's about always remaining curious on life in general. And I personally want to become the best version of myself. And sometimes in order to get there, you need to expand your mind. It's not enough to read a book or listen to a podcast or even meet somebody and have a nice conversation. You need to take action.
Alvaro Nunez is one of those people you want in your circle. Beyond his incredible success in business, he is always seeking to live his life to the fullest. He's waded through the challenges of growing up an immigrant to this country. He worked his way through undergraduate school as a janitor. He had to reset his mind every time life threatened to derail his plans. Through it all, Alvaro developed a mindset that turns his challenges into his superpower.
If life is not hard, that means that you're living in a comfortable state, and that's not going to help you grow. You either grow or you die. I look at pain as an opportunity for growth.
It will come as no surprise that Alvaro seeks to have relationships with people he wants to be like. That's pretty much how he ended up at 29029. Alvaro followed the many expeditions and adventures of Colin O'Brady, and he stayed curious. Then, Colin was going to be in Miami. Of course, Alvaro invited him to go skydiving.
This is a guy that I met through a mutual friend just maybe a few months prior to that. And right away, I was so intrigued by his life. He was somebody that is a high achiever. He's done some extraordinary things, 10 world records. And when you think about people that are doing all these amazing things, you want to learn more about them. So whenever he was in Miami, I made sure that we will connect and do something together. So I said, "Look, I haven't seen out of all your adventures that you've skydived. Would you like to join?" He's like, "Oh my God, I've never done it." So then we went skydiving. I love to take people to do things that are out of their comfort zone. And for somebody like him that has done so much, I thought, well, this could be fun. And on the process of getting ready to skydive, we started chatting. And I asked him, "Listen, I'm very curious. How do you train your mind to do the things that you've been doing? For example, crossing the Antarctica by yourself, 60 plus days, just you and your thoughts." And then he started to tell me about all these different experiences that he's been going through, different retreats from Vipassana, 10-day silent retreats, some other things he's done. And he said, "But you know what? I will recommend you to do this thing called a 12-hour walk. This is something that I put together." Again, I was barely getting to know the guy. I was starting to read his book and all of that. And I didn't even know about the 12-hour walk. And basically, the 12-hour walk is you go 12 hours on a walk, just no headphones, no music, no talking, just you and your thoughts, right? And I said, "Okay, great." So the next day, it was a Sunday, I cleared the schedule up and I went to do that. And I found it very profound. So it had a huge impact on the upcoming months. So we started chatting. I did the Vipassana as well. I did that 10-day silent retreat and everything, all because of our conversation. And I always love to take action after meeting and listening to somebody that I feel is somebody that has done amazing things in life. You know, you always rub off each other, and he was rubbing some amazing things from my shoulders that I wanted to take action and not just listening to it. I always love what he's up to and the meaning behind and how he prepares for these things. So every time that he tells me, "Hey, are you down for this or that?" I say yes. You know, it's more about a yes mindset. And because when people like him ask you for something, it's because there is something nice coming. So it was wonderful.
I love that. And a few things that I pulled out from just you introducing how you met Colin and wanting to understand, again, you're looking at Colin as someone who he's finding success in these really massive ways and crossing Antarctica and being able to climb the seven summits. And your desire to tap into that little bit of what's his secret? What's his desire? Where does it come from? I think that's such an interesting thing when we can use other people to help us learn and then take action, like you said, and go forward and do that.
I think that that's something that has been developed over the years, at least for myself, that curiosity mindset. It's about always remaining curious on life in general. And I personally want to become the best version of myself. And sometimes in order to get there, you need to expand your mind and then take action. So it's not enough to read a book or listen to a podcast or even meet somebody and have a nice conversation. You need to take action. So I always have a relationship vision board of people that I envision having relationships with, whether it's for my career, social, financial, spiritual. And those are people that either share similar values or embrace some part of the person that I want to become. And Colin had a lot of those things that I wanted to, you know, aspire to bring to my life. And it was more about the mindset to be able to be so resilient in certain things. So yes, you want to try these things. And then the beautiful thing about it is that you end up not just learning through the process of trying things, because look, not everything is for everybody. You know, you might be trying some things that work for you, that might not work for others, but at least remaining curious and trying things is what's going to eventually build your own path towards your own personal success. And in this case, I remember that being involved in the 29 or 29, not only was a great experience, but it was about the community, right? The people that you get to meet, because we're all sharing similar values, whether it's that adventurous mindset, whether it's just willingness to help each other, whether it's that empathy, whether it's that resilience, whatever those values are, we all have them in common.
Yeah. When you got to the mountain and you kind of figured out what this 29 or 29 thing was, tell me what it was like. You see that mountain, this big mountain, you've got to climb it 13 times. It's August. It's pretty warm and dry. You're from South Florida down there in Miami, used to the hot and humid. And, you know, what was it like first seeing that mountain and starting that climb?
Well, it was fun because I was actually training for the Ironman World Championship, right? I qualified for it. I was so excited about it. And I was going through the preparation to do that race. And that was literally 4 weeks after 29 or 29. So I said, look, I'm going to do a little extra pushing here with this new challenge. I'm just going to take it as something that I want to enjoy, meet new people and push myself, right? Because that's really what it's all about. And if I can help other people through the process and utilize the social media that I've built over the years to also empower others to take on their own challenges, then there we go. But I remember I was in Vegas giving a speech at a conference. So I came on to that side of the country with all the suits, all the nice stuff. And all of a sudden I had like a little carry-on with just the stuff for the mountain. I said, I don't know if this is enough, but whatever, I'm just going to go there. And as soon as I got there and we started to engage on conversations on what this was going to be about, and I started to listen to all the coaches there, some other people, and that they were coming from all different sides, not just of the country, but of the world. And we were all looking at the mountain. It's like, man, we need to do this 30 times. That's going to be fun. And yeah, I think that it's about breaking each goal into tangible little ones. So for me, it was no longer about, oh, I need to climb it 13 times. It's like, well, I want to enjoy the dinner now to get enough nutrients. Well, I want to enjoy now that session that we're doing with the breathing, the stretching. Well, I want to enjoy now the first climb with the sunrise. And as you keep on doing those little steps, you start building momentum. And it got to a point where some people went to sleep. I just wanted to keep going. I'm like, I'm already on. Let's go.
Yeah, I remember your attitude on the mountain was something that was just, it permeated because you were so happy to be there. And I think it's because of what you're saying is you just took the mountain as it came. whatever it was going to give to you, you just embraced that and you took that as an opportunity. And again, going back to that staying curious, hey, I wonder what the next lap is going to bring. Is it going to be harder? Is it going to be easier? I'm going to meet someone else. And that's such a great mindset to have, whether you're climbing a mountain or doing anything in life.
Look, I think that it's very important to remain present, because in order for you to have that state of curiosity or even being grateful, you need to be present. Sometimes we live in such a fast-paced environment that we forget about being present. And when you're in the mountain, all you think about is the moment. And in that moment, you're embracing everything. You're embracing the pain. You're embracing the sun. You're embracing the relationships that you're building. You're embracing the water that you're getting. You're embracing the people cheering you on as you're climbing the mountain. There's so many beautiful moments that you can embrace through the process by being present. So one of the main takeaways that I experienced through this challenge was the opportunity to be present. And that was just a blessing to get to know yourself better and to connect better within yourself and the environment around you.
So, Alvar, let's step off the mountain for just a minute. And for people who don't know you, who are you? Who is Alvaro? Because when you got to the mountain, I really didn't know who you were either. Like I said, you had this brilliant smile and this great attitude. But maybe give me the Cliff Notes version of who Alvaro is and where he came from.
Well, I'm an adventure seeker, like most of us are 29 or 29. But besides that, I'm a real estate entrepreneur, broker. I run a brokerage and a marketing agency here in Miami. We specialize on celebritizing and selling multi-million dollar homes from Miami to other jet set locations. I'm also a best-selling author. I have a book called Level Up, which I was carrying with me through the mountain. And then besides that, I'm a helicopter pilot. I'm a professional skydiver. And I love to do ultra endurance races.
And it's interesting because as I've dug kind of into who Alvaro is and through your book, it's so easy for so many people to look at you in your position where you're at right now, high achieving. You've done so much. I mean, you've been to the Ironman World Championships. You've climbed Kilimanjaro. You are a professional skydiver. You have a thriving real estate business. It's easy to look and say, oh, there's Alvaro. He's been successful. But it was a process for you to get there. You really had to work hard. You were an immigrant to this country from Spain.
Right. You know, through the journey of everything that I've been doing, it kind of became exciting for people to follow along that journey. And I had some content that became viral, you know, just jumping out of planes on a suit or, you know, doing all sorts of crazy things that eventually helped me to gain a big following. Those things led to build a community or at least an audience where now I had the responsibility to do something with it. I could not just keep on posting whatever. I had to narrow it down to something that could be always inspiring and empowering, educational and entertaining, right? Because those are the three reasons that people tune in into watching content. So with that, a lot of people started to ask me, hey, how did you get to where you are today? How did you reach that point? And I started to also do some podcasts. And through the process, I realized that there's a lot of people that have had huge dreams in life and they got derailed because of the obstacles that they were facing. And some of the people that were close to me that shared their dreams at some point, they were stuck. And I realized that if there is one thing that I will say about myself is that I've always been able to look at any obstacle and turn it into a superpower. And this is a process that did not happen overnight. This is something that was developed over the years. And it got to a point where I said, look, I'm ready to share this story on how I got to where I am here today, being completely raw and honest with all my failures, all the different difficulties, but also as an opportunity for people to step into those shoes so that you will feel empowered through your journey. And whatever obstacle you'll face, you'll be able to tackle it with a more high level of confidence.
And as you've gone through your process of becoming who you are and seeing your successes, you've gone through some times that were really hard. I know your story back in 2020 was something that was really powerful to me. You had a lot of things that got you down. I mean, a lot of reasons to say, I'm done, throw in the towel, and I can't do this. But yet I saw through your experiences and through that time in 2020, that was very hard for a lot of people. You made some big, massive goals and you had this shift in mindset to just say, I'm going to focus here. How did you do that? And how can you share that knowledge with other people to help others? Because we all need that ability. Things are going to be hard.
Life is hard, right? And if life is not hard, that means that you're living in a comfortable state, and that's not going to help you grow. And you either grow or you die. So in this case, I look at pain as an opportunity for growth. I love one of the sentences that one of the coaches in 29 or 29 said, right? Is pain at the end of the day is a privilege. And through the journey in that 2020, I was looking as an opportunity to grab this pain as fuel and bring more fire into my dreams, into the action I was taking towards my goals. So a lot of people, when they face an obstacle or a painful situation, they either give up, they quit, or they start putting the excuses, or they go into a path that is not going to help, right? It's more self-destructive than anything else. So in my case, I said, okay, now I have the opportunity to choose. You will always have the choice of either going in one direction or the other. And I always decided to go towards the route of making something productive out of that pain that I was currently holding. So whenever I embraced some of those moments, I said, okay, how can I even dream bigger? And you build momentum, right? There's moments where your life seemed perfectly aligned with everything that you ever dreamt of, and all of a sudden it gets crushed and something happens. You lose a family member, or you know, you get cheated on, or your business partner takes the business, whatever. There's a lot of things that can go wrong that you don't expect. But when you embrace that as an opportunity to grab that pain and supercharge yourself towards whatever bigger goal you might have, then that's powerful, because then you become unstoppable. And for me, it was always about keeping that curiosity mindset. I was always looking into what are the biggest challenges? What are the biggest things? Like, I always wanted to see what is the roof, or what is that limit that society sees? And I want to go above that. And you don't do that overnight, but you want to aim high. And when you aim high, you might fall a little bit shorter, but at least you keep on going because you're aiming high. And you use that fuel that you're created through the pain to keep going. So those is something that I've been doing over the years that has worked well. And people just need to not run away from it, but embrace it and take it.
Yeah, because we have to lean in a lot of times. We have to lean into that discomfort because we do find all that growth on the other side. You've done a lot of things in your life, Alvaro, from your very first Ironman, which I have one question for you about your very first Ironman, where you had to go into the terrible porta potty. I have to hear that story out of your own mouth.
So, of course, the Ironman, the first one, was a crazy experience. And everybody that looks at me today, you know, I'm actually doing Ultraman in 1 week, which is double the distance of an Ironman. And I've been doing some of really crazy races ever since. In fact, multiple Ironman. But if you back it up a little bit to the first one, we all have a first experience in anything that we want to do, whether it's your first marathon, whether it's your first whatever. For me, it was that first Ironman, right? It was actually my first race, to say the least. And I didn't know what to expect. I've been training for it. I was kind of keeping track of what I had to do throughout the entire race. But I reached a point after the swim, after the bike, which, by the way, was chaotic, where finally I thought, okay, the best thing I can do is the run. So I started running, and right through the half marathon point, I never run more than that. So I didn't even know what was past those 13 miles. And the body started to give up. I started to cramp. I started to feel a bit like dizzy. And I said, well, this might mean only one thing. I'm dehydrated or I'm lacking nutrients. I need to fuel the body efficiently. So on the next station that they had all the different stuff, I just loaded myself like crazy. I started to drink everything I saw, whether it was the Gatorade, the water, the Coke. And then, oh, next section, that's the bananas, the nuts, the this and that. So I started to put everything into my body. And I felt so loaded. I was like, oh my God, this probably was not a good idea. So after 1 mile, right away, the body said, no, buddy, this is not how it works. We need to have an exit plan here. So I had to go to the bathroom. And when you go to the bathroom with these three suits, you know, they're really tight. And I was trying to get it off as quickly as I could. And as I was doing these movements, I cramped because I was already cramping. So I started cramping my entire body. I fell.
In the porta potty. You're in the porta potty.
In the porta potty. Does that mean I fell? I covered myself in all that gross stuff that was in there. And I was fully cramped, my legs cramped. I was covered in, you know what? And I was thinking, man, what a terrible, crazy situation to be in. Is this really how I'm going to go down on the first Ironman? You know, everybody was so supportive. Everybody was like cheering. I was like, oh, you got this, you got this. I had so many, and again, think about it. I had such a big social media following as well that everybody was posting about it, and it was a big deal, right? And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, man, this is so humiliating. How crazy it is when people ask me, oh, how was it? Oh, you know what? I finished in the bathroom, full cramped up, covered with shit. But then that's when you need to take a deep breath, which is not nice to do it in a porta potty. Trust me. You don't want to do the deep breath there. But you have to still do it and think that, all right, that's one of the worst cases scenarios that could happen. But this is going to make the story even better when I cross the finish line, because I am going to cross that finish line. I am capable of doing this. And just like that, you start rebuilding your mind, rebuilding the way that you're talking to yourself, and you just start taking it one step at a time. First step, okay, get up, get out of that place. And then second step, grab as many bottles of water that you can, throw them all over you, clean yourself up however you can. And third step, start taking steps forward in order for you to finish. And that's what happened. And when you cross that finish line, you start getting all these flashes of all the moments that you've worked so hard towards achieving that goal. And I think that we all look back to our first, whether it's our first relationships, first business, first whatever. Always the first time of something is very special. And I believe that this first race for me, it was the beginning of finding a new character on me. And that's what gave me the momentum to do some bigger things in life, whether it was with sports or just in general.
Yeah, that's such a great story and such a great metaphor, because we all find ourselves in those rather compromised positions sometimes.
We do.
Now, you also have the opportunity, you've done some mountaineering, and on your bucket list is to climb Mount Everest one of these days. I don't think you've accomplished that just yet, right?
No, not yet.
But it's on the list. But you have done Kilimanjaro. Tell me about your experience climbing Kilimanjaro.
Well, it was a fun experience. You know, I got to tell you, it was one of those opportunities to do something that was out of my comfort zone. I never really did any prior mountaineering. I was a very active guy, but I wanted to really take on that next step forward. I love heights. You know, as you can imagine, being a skydiver, helicopter pilot, like all these things that relate to heights, I love it. I love to see things from above. It just helps you expand your mind, remain curious, see what we have in front of our eyes. And the fact of being able to go to do something like Kilimanjaro, you know, is one of the seven summits, tallest mountain in Africa. And doing that will require for you to be outside from the world for at least a week, where you'll be surrounded by nature, by things that you are not even used to. And you're doing it along with people that are also adding value to the experience. So in this case, I was doing it with Sean Swarner. He's a dear friend of mine. He's actually a very inspirational and empowering human being, because he also has done the seven summits, also skied the North and South Pole, did the Ironman World Championship as well. But all of that after surviving terminal cancer and being 1 year in coma and losing one of his lungs. So being on the mountain with him, along with some other friends, was very powerful, because for the first time ever, you start really going deep inside yourself. Like, you're no longer thinking about everything else that is going on in the world. You start going inwards. And that's when I started to find a lot about myself through that process, because you're climbing and going up and down for so long. So I remember reaching the top, and I don't know if it was the lack of oxygen or what was going on, but all of a sudden I started to have these flashes of all the things that I wanted to do in life and that I didn't want to wait. So as soon as I was done climbing and came back to the States, that's when I signed up to get my helicopter license. I started writing the book. I started to train for the next Ironman. I started to do this and that and that. Like, I started to do a lot of these big, big things that I wanted to do. So it's like everything in life. When you take a step forward in life that is outside of your comfort zone, then you start living life. I always say that life begins on the other side of fear. And when you do that and you're able to keep on developing that mindset, you'll start building momentum, and that compound effect will kick in. Sometimes you don't see the results right away, but if you keep taking actions daily on things that you're uncomfortable with, then you eventually will look back and be like, wow, you know, right now, for example, I get to do what I call Marathon Mondays. Mark, one of the co-founders of 2929, he told me, hey, I want to join you for the Marathon Monday. You know, I do a marathon every Monday, and I've been doing this already for, I don't know, almost 2 years. But it was one of those things that when you look at when I started, I couldn't even run half a marathon properly. And now I do a marathon every Monday, like nothing. And I don't want to sound cocky or anything, but what I'm saying is that I'm not training more than before. I'm training either equally or less, but more strategic in the way that I'm doing things, because you learn through the process. But the compound effect is already kicking in. All the hours that you put in the past is already compounding towards who you are today. And this applies in so many things, whether financially you're investing in something and then that compound effect kicks in. So the sooner that you can get started to do something that you want to do in life, the sooner that you're going to start seeing the results. It's just a matter of taking action and don't wait. And if for that reason you need to go to a mountain and lose oxygen so that that's how you start thinking in those terms, then do it.
Well, but that's exactly it, is putting yourself in a position to be uncomfortable is going to open doors for you. And one step at a time is going to get you to the summits that you want. It's going to get you that new perspective. We just have to be willing to put ourselves in those positions. And I, like you said, it's going to be on the other side of fear. There is fear. This isn't easy. I mean, your life isn't easy. What you do isn't easy. Running a marathon every Monday isn't easy. But yet it gets easier as we take steps towards it. And too many times we meet people on the other side of their journey. We meet Alvaro after he's gone through all of the process, after he's done multiple Ironmans, after he's jumped out of many, many planes, he's climbed many mountains. We meet you on the other side. And for some reason, it just seems to look so easy from that other side. But yet where we start, we just have to realize it's okay to take those small steps. Those little baby steps are all we need.
So true. And, you know, there is a story that when I did the Marathon des Sables, the toughest foot race in the world, the 6 marathons in 6 days across the Sahara Desert, and you need to carry all your food and supplies. I remember that there's something very powerful in here that I want also people to realize, that we need to go inwards into our why, on why we're doing the things that we're doing. Because if we're just remaining curious and we're trying to find our passions and develop that towards something that we are very disciplined and create those habits to keep on building over time, that's beautiful. But eventually you're going to reach a plateau. And I've seen this so many times. I've seen people accomplishing amazing things in life, and then all of a sudden, flat. They are feeling down, unmotivated, unfulfilled. And it's because they lost that sense of purpose. And that purpose is your why. So it is very important to always go deep down into your own thoughts and ask yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing? And not stopping there, just keep on going. I always love that term, keep leveling up, right? But it's a matter of doing things that are out of your comfort zone, that push yourself, and that also will be attached to something powerful that has a meaning that goes beyond anything else. So for me, when I did that race, it was about bringing awareness for all the people that were currently carrying all that weight through the pressure that they were having, because either a family member or a friend of mine had really lost their life because of depression. And you see that every single day. There is so many people going through the motions, and whether it's somebody that you know or somebody close to you that might be facing depression, and sometimes you don't even know about it. People that seem super happy eventually also are going through depression. And the reason for that is because it's that stigma of what people will think about you if you share how you really feel. So I wanted to really bring awareness during the Mental Health Awareness Month through this race by helping people to share their stories. So I did this campaign called The Weight of Depression. And the whole idea was carry a weight in my back that said the weight of depression that represented all the struggles that so many people are carrying within themselves, so that by the end of the race, I will leave that weight in the sand, buried there, and leave all those struggles. And it's a very beautiful, powerful campaign. Hundreds of people share their story. They were heard. They were afterwards connected to people that could help. But most importantly, they were given a voice. They were given the opportunity to pass that weight to somebody else. And when you have that responsibility, you are no longer running for yourself. You're no longer running for, checking that thing out of your bucket list. You're doing it because there's a bigger meaning behind. And throughout that race, I faced hundreds of obstacles, things that I couldn't even imagine it was possible that would have crushed anybody. In fact, it crushed some of the most successful athletes that I knew in the world. And to see that, it really puts in perspective a lot of things, but most importantly, the power of your mind. And the mind will push way beyond what your body or your soul can do. And this is all because of going deep into your why.
I love it. And what I'm really taking away from this whole conversation is right there where you just ended, is have a why. Know where you're going. Have those goals where you're going. Stay curious. And allow yourself that opportunity to be curious about different things and let things expand and grow. And get uncomfortable. Get uncomfortable and allow yourself to explore the other side of that discomfort. And that's how we find success in our lives. And it doesn't matter what your success looks like or what you're going to do. It's whatever that why is, and just following that through bit by bit, step by step, to becoming what you want to become.
So true. Amen to that. You guys are doing something amazing. I really enjoy the whole process. And what I really embrace the most about being there during the 29 or 29 with some of the founders like Colin or Mark is that they took the time to get to know the people in the mountain. They get to embrace each one of their stories and really keep each other accountable to be a better version of themselves by the end that they're done with that challenge. So Mark is one of those guys that I remember, it was the first time we met and I felt like he's already a brother for life.
There you have it, My Everest, the latest episode of the 29029 podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe wherever you get your favorite podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about 29029 events or read more stories from an incredible community of individuals, you can head over to 29029everesting.com. That's 29029everesting.com. I'm Colleen Rue, the voice of the mountain. Keep climbing. We'll meet you at the next summit.